when we were coming up the hill today to church, my kids were talking about some kids they were recently around who kept asking them why to everything. You know, why this, why that? You know, and when we're kids, we do. We ask a lot of why questions. You know, why can't I eat ice cream for dinner? Why can't I decide when I go to bed myself? Why do I have to brush my teeth? You know, we ask a lot of questions like this, and God actually put in within us, each of us, the desire to have the why questions answered. And in fact, for many of us, that's why we're here, right? We wanted to know, why does God allow suffering? Why was I born? Why does the day that I worship God matter? Why does keeping his commandments matter? We asked a lot of these questions. Well, last year during Ketubic, we had some brave young staff and some of our older campers that wanted help and said they want more help in understanding some of the whys. And specifically, they wanted to know, why should I protect my sexuality? And why is there so much sexual confusion in this world? And so I had the great privilege to partner with Ms. Lisa Finchel this year at Ketubic and Dr. Dunkel on teaching a practical Christianity class to help get some of these questions answered and to help them to know, why did God create sexuality within them, and why does it matter in their lives? And today we're going to look at just one aspect of what we shared over those 2 hours of classes and regarding why God designed them to have sexuality. Because frankly, even if sometimes we wish our teenagers didn't have sexuality, they do. And unmarried people of all ages have sexuality. So why didn't God just download it into us? You know, say at the moment that we said, I do. You know, we get sexuality put within us at that moment, kind of like, you know, similar to how he gives us the Holy Spirit at baptism. Why didn't he do it that way? You know, what was its purpose in our lives and even for single people? What is the purpose of having sexuality? Today, we're going to explore the mystery of why God gave us sexuality. The mystery of why God gave us sexuality. So I think all of us understand that God often gives to us physical things to teach us greater spiritual truths that sometimes we would otherwise struggle to understand. So for example, before I became a father, there were certain things I couldn't understand quite as well as after I became a father. For example, the love that I still have for my children when they make a mistake. That's something as a father, until you've experienced that as a parent, the love that you still have for that child when they mess up, or the joy that you have for them when they triumph or overcome in something, or even how sometimes as a parent, you let them go through something difficult for them because you know it's going to help them grow and mature, and you allow that out of your love for them. So I would have had a much harder time understanding God being our great spiritual father and that perfect role that he plays if I hadn't ever had the physical opportunity to be a father. So throughout the entire Bible, we see one of the major things that God wants to teach us and help us to understand is understanding his covenant love for us. How God promises to love us, how he has this everlasting love, how he pursues us, how he has this deep desire to have meaningful, close, intimate connections with each one of his people, and how he is faithful to those covenants. So what could God give us and put within us physically that would help us to understand this deep need for a binding covenant relationship and an everlasting covenant love? And it's our sexuality. God put within each of us sexuality so we would have this deep desire to pursue a covenant, to become one with someone, to realize that we weren't designed by God to be alone. And our sexuality is a powerful metaphor that teaches us about God's covenant love, and physically it allows us a way of experiencing the deep desire that we have to be in a covenant relationship. And we're not. And when we talk about sexuality, we're not talking about just the physical act of having sex. It's about the desire to belong to someone, to connect intimately and transparently with someone, to share our life with them, to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and share our lives in an open and close and vulnerable way. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and verse 30. we see in this chapter, it's a common marriage chapter, we see from verse 22 through 31 the commands for husband and wife to how to submit and how to love. We see a connection that is made here between the husband and wife relationship to that of Jesus Christ and the church. And that church is made up of us, individuals within that church, you and me. And there are some really amazing high calling principles here to married individuals. But notice what Paul says to the members of Ephesus starting in verse 30. Verse 30 says in Ephesians 5, "For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." That takes us all the way back to Genesis 2, where Adam said about Eve, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And verse 31, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, one. And it says in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Paul says this is a great mystery. The word for great is the Greek word megas. It can mean a thing to be highly esteemed for its excellence, something to be prepared on a grand scale or of great importance. So whatever this mystery is, it was esteemed for its excellence, and it was prepared on a grand scale and had great importance. And then the word for mystery is actually mysterion. It means something that is not obvious to our understanding when we look at it. It's secret or hidden. So what is this? Let's read a couple commentaries real quick here. Clark's commentary says, "By mystery here, we may understand a natural thing by which some spiritual matter is signified, which signification the Spirit of God alone can give. So here, the creation of and union of Adam and Eve were intended in the design of God to point out the union of Christ and the church, a union the most important that can be conceived, and therefore the apostle calls it a great mystery." Barnes' commentary says this: the truth that was so great a mystery was that the eternal Son of God should form such a union with people, that he should take them into connection with himself, implying a love of attachment and strength of affection superior to even that which exists in the marriage union. So what was this great mystery truth? That marriage was always designed and existed to teach us about our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. It was always set up to point to that. And through our sexuality, an element of God's design that at the end of creation week he said was good, we have a deep physical desire to draw into a marriage covenant where we promise each other in good times and bad, in sickness and health, and richer and poorer, that until death, you know, forever in this physical life, that we're making a covenant with this person that is lifelong, a promise of love and devotion that is unbreakable, where within this covenant we share ourselves completely openly and transparently and exclusively with our one, and where our marital physical actions even celebrate and renew this covenant relationship, where we've promised to do with our whole lives that intimacy and openness in every aspect, emotionally, etc. So our sexual desire sometimes can be looked at as a curse, but in fact, it's an amazing blessing that is given by God. It's a blessing that is meant to teach us about God's great desire to be in an everlasting, meaningful, close, open, intimate, and deeply personal relationship with each and every one of us through Jesus Christ, where we commit or where we communicate to share our thoughts and struggles in a raw and open way with God. And we see from Genesis to Revelation and throughout God's entire word that when people break their covenant relationship with God, he uses the same terminology that we use when somebody breaks that physical covenant of marriage, you know, of adultery and fornication. So throughout the Bible, we see that God uses these powerful metaphors about the close relationship that he desires to have with each of us. And many of the scriptures, they even almost feel like marriage vows and that bind us together and are unbreakable. I'll just quote one from 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. You can jot it down, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But it says here, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And we do this at our baptism. When we are in covenant with God, we are joined together and we become one spirit, one in spirit. And let's go to Romans 8 and verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. This is one of my favorite passages from the Bible. And it almost feels like, you know, in richer and poorer and sickness and health, those same marriage covenants that we make. Romans 8, 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." These are beautiful words of God's unfailing covenant that he makes with us, and he is faithful. God placed within each of us, within our bodies, a deep desire to want to be one with someone. So we could understand this mystery that it was meant to teach us, that we have even a deeper need to be one spiritually with God. So that even in being single, our sexuality has a purpose to point us to a much greater and even more meaningful relationship that we can have with a husband and a wife, to the most important relationship we'll ever have with our great God through Jesus Christ, which helps us to understand why Satan in this world is so desperately trying to attack this, why he hits it from so many different angles and tries to separate sexuality's connection with its spiritual significance, because his greater goal is to hide and obscure the truth that God wants a meaningful covenant relationship with you, and a promise of faithfulness. And to the extent that Satan can distort, manipulate, or hide that truth in each of our lives, in our marriage, in the church even, he hides a powerful metaphor to understanding God's unfailing covenant love. So our teens and our young adults were wisely seeking to understand the why about their sexuality, because this isn't just a physical cultural problem that they are facing. It is a spiritual problem. So we encouraged our teens to understand and internalize the why. Why they were given physical desire, to understand that they were designed by God as a good thing, to draw them to make a physical lasting covenant with one person of the opposite sex, and that was worth protecting. But also for the greater spiritual purpose of understanding that the God of the universe deeply loves and pursues them and wants to have a close, intimate, meaningful relationship with them and deeply longs to form an everlasting binding covenant with them. And understanding this helps us to understand the seriousness of doing everything we can to honor and protect these covenants of love.